Okay, we are in Heavenly Places, page 128, if you actually have the book or booklet. I think it's a book, a little paperback kind of a thing. I don't know. It's for May 1st, which is today, and it's titled The Heavenly Father's Claim. And it says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." And that's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. How's the volume on the microphone, by the way, because I'm not that close to it. I got the gain down. Is okay? I just want to make sure that it's good. All right, good. Just want to make sure the recording's going to come through good. All right, so Sister White says, let me see if I can switch glasses, if this will help, because for some reason, yeah, these are a little better, but no, these are filthy, but deal with it. Deal with it. That's what I've been saying to my kids since they were kids. Just deal with it. All right. All right. Sister White says, God stands toward his people in the relation of a father, and he has a father's claim to our faithful service. Consider the life of Christ. Standing at the head of humanity, serving his father, he is an example of what every son should and may be. Isn't that wonderful, the way he did that? He is Christ. He is the Savior. He is, you know, the second being in the Godhead. A second God, if you will. I mean, the word Elohim is plural. Let us make man in our image. Pretty obvious, don't you think? And even Nebuchadnezzar, by the way. Or Pharaoh. Now, that always got me. I says, you know, why is it the people that preach this strange theology about one God, which, of course, was prophesied to happen anyway, that Trinitarian thing, and they go, oh, we don't preach Trinitarian. You do, because you preach three gods. I says, no, you know, obviously don't know what Trinity means. Trinity means one God in three persons, like they teach. They say there's only one God, and they got Jesus Christ is just his son, and the Holy Spirit is just the thought process. But there are three entities, if you will, in their God. That's Roman Catholic Trinity. But check this out. When Pharaoh had his dream deciphered, what did he say about Joseph? And when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream given to him and deciphered by Daniel, because he completely forgot the dream, and what did he say about Daniel? He said the same thing Pharaoh did. He said the spirit of the holy gods, plural, was in Daniel or in Joseph. Everybody keeps missing that. In those strange churches, of course. So she goes on to say, the obedience that Christ rendered. Oh, well, the point I was making in regards to all this, he's a God. Jesus Christ is a God. And his love is just so overwhelming that he comes down here to walk in our flesh. I mean, he had to trim his toenails and fingernails too, you know. He had to cut his hair and brush his teeth. He had to eat. He had to take a nap once in a while. He had to go to sleep every night. He was just like one of us. Except, of course, he chose not to sin. And so, this is where, you know, especially in today's world, this is a lot of us have to get to that point where we can stand alone and not be lured off the path, if you want to be part of that number. But he didn't even, he didn't have to do that, of course. We understand that. And he did wait 4,000 years to do it, by the way. You know, but still, he did do it. And it was prophesied he was going to do it, too. So it's not like he really waited 4,000 years either. Well, in man's timing, yeah. Linear time, no. Because he sees the end from the beginning anyway, so there's no, you know, and yeah, it's a little bit difficult to wrap our finite brains around when it comes to linear time. But I'm sure we'll understand it when we get home. I'm sure there's going to be like a yesterday as well as a tomorrow. But it may not be termed in that manner, and it may not be experienced in that manner, because none of us are going to be going to sleep anymore. We won't get tired. I mean, could you imagine that when we get home? You can run at the fastest pace you could possibly think of and not get winded? That's how it was before the flood of Noah, by the way. Science has already proven that. You can go underwater, hold your breath for over an hour. If you don't believe me, talk to those sea turtles. Or talk to the whale when you get a chance. They hold their breath pretty long. We could too. But not now, because the atmosphere isn't what it used to be. We can't gorge our bodies with oxygen molecules anymore, because now they're shaped like basketballs. But before the flood of Noah, they were shaped like footballs, which meant it could go deeper into our systems and you know, into the little capillaries and everything. And no, it's not that they were created differently. It's just that the atmosphere was twice as dense, pushing down on the oxygen molecules. They even proved that, too, by finding a hammer. They found a hammer that was forged in a furnace, a foundry, if you will, before the flood of Noah. And the reason they know that is because if you forge a hammer after the flood of Noah, or even today using the old-fashioned methods, like with, you know, with the pump, you put your foot on it, going up and down, up and down, up and down, like a blacksmith, you know, beating the daylights out of it, you're still going to have the oxygen molecules way inside, like, or any kind of molecules for that matter, way inside the metal, as it was when it was molten, and then when you beat on it and all this other stuff. But they could tell by cross-section of the hammer that the atmosphere had to have been twice as dense where that hammer was forged. Just like today, you cut a hammer in half now that some blacksmith cut or created, and you're going to be able to tell what kind of an atmosphere it was forged in. It's just that. I mean, it's just normal science, physics. I mean, it's just, it's going to happen. There's no way around it. It's just the way, it's just like hold something in your hand, let go, it's going to hit the ground. It's called gravity. Certain things you can't get around. So anyway, she says, the obedience that Christ rendered, God requires from human beings today. Now, a lot of people get all scared about this. Whoa, he didn't commit any sins. I got to get sinless? Have you read 1 John 1:9? You will be considered sinless in the eyes of your Father when you repent, because he puts your sins in the seal of forgetfulness. And think about this. He's a father. Okay? He is not a tyrant. He's not sitting there with his hands like this, waiting for you to commit the next sin, so he can slap you upside the head with some kind of a bolt of judgment. He's your father. Let me ask you this. If you did your dad wrong, your human dad, is he going to, you know, pull the guillotine out of the basement and chop you up in little pieces because you did something wrong? No, he loves you, right? Well, why would you think your heavenly father would be hateful or even more hateful than your dad when Jesus actually said that as evil as we are and we give good gifts unto our children, our heavenly father loves us even more? Yeah, because I know a lot of the young people, especially in today's world, I got to hand it to you. Walking with Christ in today's world, you are like a beacon. And I don't want to say this on you so you get your head all swollen, but it lets the young people around you know it can be done. It can be done. I mean, you know, I loved what the Lord showed me when I was first becoming a Christian. People didn't expect me to ever become a Christian. You know, hanging out in biker bars, shooting stick and stuff. They didn't think, no way, no, that guy? In and out of jail every other weekend? They never thought that'd be possible. And in today's world, especially in the schools, I mean, the way sin is glorified, Christianity becomes boring, and it's kind of like, I mean, when I was a kid, it was just goody two-shoes. Oh, you're just a little Jesus freak, aren't you? Today, what are you, a nut? You actually think there's a God? Come on, look around. Look at all the things that are happening. You have to give you all sorts of these crazy excuses. And some of it sounds pretty good to a 17-year-old brain because they only been here 17 years. Not a lot of experiences there. And the devil will jump on that one. If you don't think so, explain all those video games mom and dad buy for the kids that have the M on them for mature. Mom and dad buys it for the kid anyway. It's kind of like Eli letting the guys, you know, not our brother here. I'm talking about Eli in the scriptures, letting his boys drink and just, you know, letting them do what they want, letting, you know, go whole hogged. Or even Aaron's sons. They got a little bit tipsy that night. They threw the strange fire. And look what happened to them. Anyway, she says, he served his father in love with willingness and freedom. I delight to do thy will, O my God. It's a beautiful song, by the way. He declared, she says, and then, yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verse 8. Christ counted no sacrifice too great, no toil too hard, in order to accomplish the work which he came to do. At the age of 12, he said, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Luke 2:49, of course, he said it to his ma when she and dad went looking for him for those 3 days, which kind of looks a tad bit prophetic, doesn't it? 3 days? Come on. It's kind of like a little bit of a prediction as to the pain that she's going to deal with later on. You know, 28 years later, 18, 19, well, you know, when he's 33. Anyway, she says, he had heard the call and had taken up the work. My meat, he said, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 4:34. Thus we are to serve God. And so again, like when people think of this as, you know, like when she said here a minute ago that God requires from human beings today what Jesus did, we got to walk in as his example, and thus we are to serve God. People think, you know, especially in America, serving God, yeah, come on, you know, you're going to miss Monday Night Football, you're going to miss, all your friends are going to go out there smoking dope, and it's legal now. Oh, man, come on. It's legal now. Well, so is abortion. Doesn't make it right. So is drinking. That doesn't make it right. And the only reason they legalized the alcohol is because they knew they couldn't stop it. So they taxed the daylights out of it. That's why moonshine still ran after prohibition was over. That crazy tax they put on every bottle of booze. So as soon as they figure out a way to make money on it, yeah, they'll legalize anything. This is why homosexual marriage is legal. Soon it'll be polygamy and then pedophilia. I mean, they're already talking about it. I mean, we expected this 10, 15, 20 years ago, yeah. And praise God, some of the people that the seeds were planted in kind of remember, yeah, we kind of heard them guys talking about this decades ago. So it lends credence to the truth we preach, which is nice. But we're not out to look like prophets. We're out to look like Christians who understand prophecy. And in today's world, if you don't understand prophecy, you may as well walk around blindfolded on the edge of a precipice because you're going to fall and you're going to crash and burn. She says, he only serves who acts up to the highest standard of obedience. In other words, she says, thus we are to serve God. He only serves who acts up to the highest standard of obedience. All who would be sons and daughters of God must prove themselves co-workers with Christ and God and the heavenly angels. This is the test for every soul. Every soul. God's great object in the working out of his providences is to try men, to give them opportunity to develop character. And this is why a lot of us are going through some crazy trials. You know, people out of the blue, people you don't even know, or brothers and sisters in the faith will push your buttons to try to get your blood boiling or try to tempt you to lie, or your boss will try to tempt you, okay, I'll work Sabbath this week, but please don't schedule me again, you know, when it's not an emergency. They're going to go everything they can to chip away at the character Christ is already helping you to form. Those are part of your tests. All that stuff. She says, thus he proves whether they are obedient or disobedient to his commands. Good works do not purchase the love of God, but they reveal that we possess that love. If we surrender the will to God, we shall not work in order to earn God's love. His love, as a free gift, will be received into the soul, and from love to him we shall delight to obey his commandments. It always brings me back to that time when I was a little kid. You do extra chores because it makes mommy smile. You draw a fancy picture and hang it on the fridge because dad's going to laugh when he sees it. You do things because you love them and you want to make them smile. Well, when you find Christ as Savior, it kind of makes sense that you want to do the same thing for him because you realize what he did for you. I mean, what's the difference between that and you standing on a street corner and some bum dressed in rags pushes you out of the way and takes the full brunt of a bus and then gets killed right in front of everybody, and all the people on the side of the street start laughing and making jokes about the bum because when he got hit, the facial expression was funny to them. You can't laugh one bit. That man saved your life. But the funny thing is, and I don't mean to say it was funny, is a lot of people, and this is again a test, because I remember taking these tests, even though I failed them all when I was a little kid. I got sick of getting beat up, so I started, agreeing with some of the bad things they wanted to do. But especially with the young people, the teenagers, oh man, I just feel for you because I was one of the worst. I know what you're going through and I know what you're not going through too, in a way. I've seen both ends of the fence, sides of the fence rather. Because there was times I was laid back and there was times I was just crazy that I was doing when I was young. But a lot of times I wouldn't so much follow the lead of anyone, but I would have a tendency to make it my own, if you will, if I thought it was a good idea or fun. But I don't know how many of us here, and I'm sure just about everybody here, even if you're young, know of people in your life that died real young. I don't know how many of them. There's so many funerals I went to when I was a kid. A lot of people. We can't take, we have a work to do. And yeah, they may scoff at you, make fun and stuff like that, but I always like to, and whenever that, it hasn't happened in a while because, I've been a Christian for a while now, but every now and then you get that thought. It still comes, like when I was reading the scriptures this morning, as a matter of fact, I came across a Bible verse that blessed me when I was really young, because I think about the way people act around Christians, or when you want to do the right thing and they don't want to. And you think of the weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's got to come a day when they're going to know for an overwhelming, undeniable fact that you were right, and they are not only wrong, they're going to pay for all eternity for that wrong. They're going to be dead forever and ever. And no, they're not going to be writhing in fire for all eternity, screaming at the top of their lungs. I challenge you to show me one Bible verse that says that. I mean, sure, you can find a bunch of twisted theology from Roman Catholicism that spilled into all the other religions because all the world wonders after that beast. That's why they're all doing it, Sunday church. They're all having a 7-year trib or a secret rapture or eternal life in hellfire. The Bible says sin begets death. It doesn't say you're going to live with Satan. And this is why Satanists are... I mean, I thought atheists were bad when it came to being, spiritually dwarfed to the, because even, I don't care if you're an atheist or not, the fact is you're created by a God that is worshipped spiritually, so even an atheist seeks something. They don't know what it is, of course. Some guys go so far as to say, I'm going to go out into some mountain and just find myself, They come up with all these weird reasons as to what, why they're here, if you will. But even an atheist has to acknowledge, and will acknowledge, of course, one day that Christ is Lord. Satan's going to do it. He's going, at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to bow his knee, so will the atheist. But a Satanist? I mean, how mind-numbingly stupid, for lack of a better word, can someone be? I mean, just using the, you know, because I used to hang with witches. Well, not a lot of them, but, you know, I dabbled before I was a Christian. And I knew about that, you know, the language of the one, they called him, which is in reverse. I mean, come on, even his name spelt backwards is past tense. Devil is lived backwards. And the Bible's plain. Not only does it say sin begets death, it tells us that we're going to walk on the ashes of the dead after the hellfire burns them up. Sure, some will burn a little longer than others, but they ain't going to be burning for all eternity, because that's not the character of our God. That's the character of Satan. He has to paint our God in that awful picture so as to get people to join him in the fire. I know it sounds really crazy, but it works. You know, I mean, he's had 6,000 years to perfect his temptation, you know, and his tactics. So it's obviously working. I mean, the overwhelming majority of the people on this planet are walking with him now. It's like that one old guy that told me years ago, he believes Satan is stronger than Jesus because most people are wicked. I says, no, it just proves people are weak. You know, and plus, the fact that Jesus prophesied it would be that way kind of puts you in a position like you should have kept your mouth shut, you know. So, she says, there are only two classes in the world today, and only two classes will be recognized in the judgment. Those who violate God's law, and those who obey it. Oh, wait a second, I sinned the other day. Yeah. But that you repent of it, because part of the law is to repent of the sin committed by the law, you know, against the law. I mean, you're not under the law if you haven't sinned. It's just like getting pulled over by a cop. If you're not speeding, he ain't going to give you a ticket. The minute you're speeding, then you're under the law. So she says, Christ gives the test by which we prove our loyalty or disloyalty. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And it's John 14, verses 15 to 21, with a lot missing in between there. I guess they're taking the beginning of one and the end of the other. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.